Joining us in studio, it is Brian Williams. Good morning, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Matt. Morning, Hoagie. Good to be here. Second Friday in a row. I was just listening earlier to Dan Le Batard on ESPN. It's been a bad year. Muhammad Ali, now Howe, David Bowie, Prince, for people we care about.
Yeah, it has been. And I'm going to say this, and I mean this in the nicest way, because I'm a big fan of Brian Williams, but I am not happy to be talking to you. Because the last time I spoke with you, it was about Muhammad Ali and his passing. Now we're moving on to Gordie Howe.
I appreciated the relevance of Muhammad Ali, as I said, having gone to university in Grand Rapids, Michigan in the 60s. You know, I knew that to be young, black, male, and political, they were still lynching people. My family lived in Detroit that period, and whenever I was home, I went to games at the old Olympia, the production line, Abel, Howe, and Lindsay. All you have to know about Gordie Howe is that Wayne Gretzky could not take number 9. So in honor of Gordie Howe, he took number 99. Mm-hmm. Howe was a gentle, shy man. I can remember Mort Greenberg, a great CBC cameraman I worked with, a legend. He was one of Gordie's great friends. Gordie, Colleen, Marty, Mark, Murray. He passed away at his son Murray, who is a surgeon at the University of Michigan, passed away at his home in suburban Detroit today. But all you got to know about Gordie is he was so shy, so respectful, so self-effacing in person, yet on the ice, you know, there was a magazine called Life. Mm-hmm. And I can remember Lou Fontenato of the New York Rangers. His nose was around the back of his head. So, you know, they called him elbows. What about his fists? He was as tough as they come. But I mentioned Mort Greenberg. And Mort was a dear friend. And I spoke with Gordie many times with Mort. And we were in an elevator at the Westbury Hotel, which was near the old Maple Leaf Gardens. I think we were going up something like 10 floors. And Mort had a film camera. God, it was huge. Yeah. And it's all I could do. I'm trying to lift it with two hands. And Gordie put his hand on my shoulder and said, Brian, move me to the back of the elevator, reach down and visualize this, lifted it up with one hand, held his arm straight out, and he said, I think I'll hold it like this for 10 floors. Just to show me how tough he was. And he... The other, I think to put it into perspective for younger people listening, Wayne Gretzky built hockey in the southern United States. There is no question. Mm. But if you go to Alabama today and mention players, maybe Rocket Richard, but you mention players prior to Gretzky, Gordie Howe is one of the few names that actually transcend the sport. Even someone that's never watched or seen a hockey game in rural Alabama knows who Gordie Howe is. Gordie Howe built this sport. He played at a time. You know, I mean, think about this, guys. His first game is 1946. Mm-hmm. His last meaningful game is 1980. Yeah. He scores 801 goals. And, you know, he was 6 years before the games were televised. So his impact is, I don't think we can quite grasp how important he is. To the history of hockey. I mean, in this country, it's a given. We know Floral Saskatchewan. We know his history. But Gordie Howe is one of those few, one of the few hockey players prior to Gretzky that is still a household name.
But even giving credibility to a league, and Bobby Hull, when he signed with the World Hockey Association, okay, there was a little bit of sizzle because they got one of the best players in the league. Maybe not in his prime, but near his prime. And then they got Dave Keon and a couple of other players, Jerry Cheevers, players like that. But when Howe signed, that gave the league instantly it gave it a lot more credibility than it had.
Hoagie, you make a great point. And to amplify that point, he was taken advantage of in Detroit. He was underpaid. Yeah. He was management abused Gordie Howe, not physically, but financially and in every way because of his decency and love of the game.
And took advantage of a farm kid from Floral, Saskatchewan.
But you mentioned Hartford. Mm-hmm. That's where he first, I think, took a stand and did something for Gordie Howe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to remember that he was not paid what he deserved. My neighbor is Frank Mahovlich, and Frank still talks about Gordie, you know, as the toughest player. He said people talk about fighters, they talk about goons. Gordie Howe was certainly the furthest thing from a goon, but Frank will tell you he was the toughest player I ever played with or against.
Mm-hmm. The remarkable thing, and Brian Williams in studio here, and thank you again for joining us to discuss the passing of Gordie Howe, is he was screwed over by the Red Wings. There wasn't, you know, unions. There wasn't ways of monitoring who got paid. And yet, he was still so closely connected with Detroit after his playing days were over. And that says a lot about the person, to be able to accept an apology, to be able to put the past in the past and to move on. Because a lot of players, and you can understand it, would be saying, no, I don't want anything to do with this organization anymore because I got taken advantage of.
Hank Greenberg, Cy Young, Al Kaline, mm-hmm. Bobby Lane. I mean, go through Detroit. Sure. The great basketball players that played
Dave
on those
Bing.
Teams. Dave Bing, University of Syracuse. Yeah. Dave DeBuscher out of Detroit High School played mm-hmm. For the Knicks. He played baseball. He played pro basketball. You go to Michigan, Gordie Howe is as well known and as highly respected as any of the aforementioned players. The only other place I've seen this happen is in Boston. Bobby Orr enjoys a level, is revered at a level with Ted Williams, Carl Yastrzemski, Larry Bird, sure. Bob Cousy. Howe has that level of acceptance, he's admired to that level in the great state of Michigan.
The other part of the Howe family that we haven't discussed yet is Colleen.
Right.
And there were not the super agents back in the 60s and 70s. There were agents, but like maybe Bob Wolf is a guy who comes to mind who was one of those people.
Out of Boston.
Yes. Colleen Howe saw what happened to Gordie, found out what happened to Gordie, and made sure that she was going to... She became Mama Bear. She started protecting the family and became certainly the first female agent that I can think of. But she was almost vilified in the hockey community because she was doing stuff that the hockey community didn't like. She didn't care. She was looking after her family, and it was impossible. And to see, watch from afar to see what Gordie Howe was going through in the family when Colleen was sick, that was heartbreaking because they were just inseparable.
Once again, you make a great observation. She was criticized.
You know, I think I'm making some great observations
Matt made
okay.
two off the top,
really.
But Hoagie's
just,
pulled
just
up the
saying,
top.
You know, I don't make any, but Hoagie's making all of them.
Get out of here. The interesting thing is she was, Matt, and you talked about this with me earlier, she was criticized. People, in a way, made fun of her as sort of the tyrant, and Gordie did what she told him.
Yeah.
They were a loving couple. Gordie was being taken, and Matt, there's your point, mm-hmm. that he was taken advantage of.
An excellent one.
And it was Colleen, he needed Colleen. He needed someone
Absolutely.
To stand up for him. It happened to be his wife, but she didn't, you know, she didn't run that family. Gordie was the head of the family. Gordie adored Colleen, and it angered him when she was criticized for micromanaging his career. Gordie once said, "No one else looked after me. Colleen has to do it."
How come there's not a trophy named after him? And this just an email just came in, and it's a line from Michael Farber's obit of Gordie Howe. He doesn't have a trophy named after him. If there's any player out there that should have a trophy named after him, it seems it should be Gordie Howe.
Maybe he's above having a trophy named after
him. He's already Mr. Hockey.
He is Mr. Hockey. I don't think there's any argument. And Wayne Gretzky, I mean, again, we in Canada know this. We live, we die, we breathe hockey. But listening to ESPN, I wanted to get the American perspective, and Dan Lebatard from Miami talking about who are the two greatest hockey players in history. It's between Gretzky and Howe. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to Gretzky, it's Wayne Gretzky. Now, you can argue, Don Cherry will argue Bobby Orr in there. Sure. He did change the game, the Rocket for Woody. You know, there's so many stories, but he is Mr. Hockey. Maybe he's above having a trophy named after him. I'm sure there's streets somewhere named after him, as there are for Muhammad Ali, but I don't know the right word, Matt. Maybe you do, but to have him pass away a week to the day after the great Ali, and to have him pass away the morning of Ali's funeral, mm-hmm. I'm not comparing what they did. Sure. The two did are very different.
They were different men, but they were both giants in their own sport, and they were both people that had such contrast. In their ring of play, they were vicious and deadly, and outside, they touched so many people's lives.
And
in
playful.
Very playful. And in both cases, people just wanted to be near them, which may be the highest compliment. Brian, really appreciate you being able to join us.
I know you got to go. I mean, what Muhammad did for civil rights and African Americans, you can't compare it to anything Gordie did.
Of course.
But I'm talking about the way they're revered in their sport and how they're known, certainly throughout North America, in Howe's case, throughout the world, in Ali's case.
Very well
thanks,
said.
Brian,
thanks so much for joining us.
Guys.